The most bone-chilling greetings, everybody. Those tunes you're listening to is courtesy of the amazing Bobby Mackey, and I, of course, am your host, Tessa Morrow.
Now some may not believe it, and I won't say it's true, but some of us have smelled your rose perfume.
From tiny village to large city life and everything in between, what phenomenal locations will be picked today? This week's special city shoutouts go to Schenectady, New York, Corte Madura, California, Maryborough, Australia, Bartlett, New Hampshire, Woking, England, and Dickinson, Texas. Thanks everybody for listening to Paranormal Prowlers Podcast. It is absolutely appreciated. Today, we find ourselves in the 39th state. That's right, guys, North Dakota. We step foot in Fort Abercrombie, a United States Army fort, which was historically known as the Gateway of the Dakotas. And I have to admit that the Dakotas are states that I have never been to before. Always has been on my list to go to, so hopefully someday I'll be able to go. I definitely want to go to Deadwood, and I want to go to Fort Abercrombie, and what other amazing places North Dakota and South Dakota have to offer. Now, Fort Abercrombie is built by Colonel John Abercrombie. The fort sits on a 42-acre state site. Located on the eastern side of Fort Abercrombie, you will find the original structures, that being of the jail, the office quarters, the main guard headquarters, the barracks, and more. Meanwhile, on the west side, you're going to find guard block houses. This is also the area where animals were housed. Located here also is a museum where tours are offered. And what's really cool about this is that I saw there's an option. I don't know if you have to pay extra or what, but if you have issues walking or you're just lazy and don't want to walk, that would be me sometimes, guilty, there's an option where you can actually take a tour via golf cart. Sign me up. Now, I did see that Fort Abercrombie, while they do offer tours and what have you, that they are temporarily closed. So if you are planning to visit this amazing location, I would definitely recommend checking before you go, just to make sure that they are in fact open for business. The fort is only active for 17 years, when it is eventually abandoned in 1877. And once abandoned, the fort's structures are sold and removed from the location. And that's why today we are seeing replicas of some of the originals and not the originals themselves. They weren't destroyed, mind you, just removed, and God knows where they remain today, and if they even are still standing. I'd be curious to kind of know those things. Where are they? Now, here is a fun fact for you guys. Fort Abercrombie was actually the very first permanent military fort that's established, located in Abercrombie, North Dakota. The fort was constructed originally to keep Native Americans at bay from the states and territories of Minnesota and both the Dakotas. The fort was also used for training quarters where troops gathered and prepped for the ever-so-intense Civil War battles. Unfortunately, the first site of the fort proved to be too close to the Red River, and once they knew flooding was a definite looming threat, it's relocated in 1860 to a much safer location located on a hill. Fort Abercrombie suffers damages from the 1862 siege and survives the Indian Wars and the American Civil War. It is the only fort in the area that is besieged by the Sioux. As the Civil War begins, this takes the soldiers at Fort Abercrombie away, and it is run solely by the Minnesota Volunteer Infantry. They step happily in, and it is manned by them and them alone. The siege happens when they are present. Picture it, September 1862, during the Minnesota-Indian War. The fort finds itself being taken over by the Dakota Sioux. Its ever so brutal attack will go on for 6 excruciatingly long weeks. I'm sure it felt like an eternity. You know, a lot of us, it's like, a month and a half, that's not long. But when your life is in danger on both sides, you're feeling like, you know, today could be your last day. This minute could be your last minute. That must have felt like such a long time, seriously. Local German farmers, they seek safety at the fort. Having gone through and survived the European wars, they are happy to help, and they use their skills as they kick major ass with the cannon. Because of this, they manage to survive. Well, not everyone. Not everybody is going to walk away from this. Several die on both sides, but the fort survives and thrives. The first raid involved the Sioux taking all the fort's animals. This included horses, donkeys, and cows. It was well over 300 animals, so geez, that's quite the blow for sure. Don't know if they ended up slaughtering the animals or eating them or using them for whatever, but no more animals. Now, it wasn't all bad things that happened here. It wasn't all about death and sieges and battles and what have you. Also to take place here in 1870 was the Sioux Chippewa Peace Conference. Yes, August 14th, 1870 was a huge day as the Sioux and Chippewa leaders meet at Fort Abercrombie and sign a peace agreement. It has long since been believed that Fort Abercrombie is haunted. Many have had experiences here. People have heard the sounds of a battle that was fought so long ago. In fact, when the anniversary of the siege of 1862 comes around, people have heard disembodied battle-like cries and sounds. I mean, how sad that these men are forever reliving this ever-so-frightening event, this deadly battle. Apparitions of soldiers and Dakota Sioux have been seen wandering throughout the property. These full-blown apparitions have been seen in full uniform, acting like it's just another day here, a regular day, if you will, at Fort Abercrombie, reporting for spiritual duty. People have come up close to these apparitions, and they act like they don't even see the person at all, and they probably don't. The blockhouse is an extremely active spot when it comes to paranormal activity. People have felt like they are being watched and not alone. Those two things kind of go hand in hand for sure. I found an experience shared by a woman on hauntedplaces.org where she talks about how her and her daughter, they were visiting the fort, and out of nowhere, they hear this incredible, unexplainable scream. Unexplainable meaning because she said that she knew in her heart of hearts that that did not come from a human being or an animal. What was responsible for that scream, you know? We now leave Fort Abercrombie in Abercrombie, North Dakota, and now we drive less than 40 miles away to Riverside Cemetery located in Fargo, North Dakota. And I know I have people from that area that listen in because I see Fargo. And so, thanks everybody. Now, Riverside Cemetery is North Dakota's largest and oldest cemetery, which I find to be pretty damn awesome. You know how I feel about cemeteries, so I won't say no more. It was established in 1879, and well over 18,000 people, they do rest here eternally. While it may have been established as a burial location in 1879, it will actually receive its very first burial, a woman named Clemina Lowell, on February 16th, the year before. Yeah, 1878. In fact, Clemina's husband and son, Jacob Sr. and Jacob Jr., would go on to own that very portion of the cemetery, that being Block 13. Additional land is purchased as they were running out of room. And I'm sorry, who are we bloody kidding? People are not going to stop dying. It's an ever-growing business. Graveyards, cemeteries, and what have you. As Kevin Costner would say in one of my all-time favorite movies, Mr. Brooks, quote, "You will always want to invest in things people can't do without. Water and cemeteries. Pretty safe bets," unquote. 6 additional acres are purchased and 260 gorgeous red cedars are planted throughout the area in 1903. They keep on expanding as, in 1909, the mortuary and a reception vault are constructed. The mausoleum, which is believed to be extremely haunted, is built in 1920. That very same year, a horse-drawn lawnmower is added to the cemetery family. My ears kind of perked up when I saw this. It's like, I have never heard of this before. A horse-drawn lawnmower? I would love to see that. I would be very interested in seeing that. The building that is now the administrative offices and crematory, mind you, was once used as the chapel. Now, this is where the deceased would be delivered via horse carriage hearse, and I could only assume it would be something similar to Tombstone's hauntingly gorgeous Moriah. Picture this. The only sounds that are heard is the wind going through the red cedars and the weeping sounds, the cries and moans of the mourning family and friends, and the clunk, clunk, clunk sound coming from the horse. The carriage carrying the coffin of the man walks solemnly towards the chapel. This very thing would happen several times throughout the years. Riverside Cemetery has a lot of paranormal happenings taking place here. Some people have heard disembodied cries coming from the 1920 mausoleum, the one that I mentioned earlier. Some claim that it is near the mausoleum, while others insist the cries are coming from within the actual mausoleum itself. And it's not only the crypt. People have heard voices coming from the headstones as well. Looking around, nobody else is around. No sounds, nothing. Folks who visit the cemetery have managed to get photographic evidence here in the past. This includes balls of light hovering over graves. And no, this isn't dust or bugs, but actual balls of light. And mists, perhaps partial apparitions or a spirit trying to manifest itself, and much more. Paranormal investigators, they have been successful in capturing electronic voice phenomena here at Riverside. Speaking of recording, people say that they have been very successful when leaving a recorder of some sort at the 1920 mausoleum, and they are able to capture different sounds like knocking, tapping, and what have you. Some have had the overwhelming feeling of sudden dread, being watched, and not alone spooky vibes. On hauntedplaces.org, I found a couple experiences folks have shared that are worth mentioning in my opinion. One was from a woman, and she talks about going through the cemetery with her two dogs. Now, mind you, these dogs are great travel companions. Now, I've seen in the past people with dogs in their car, and the dogs are just everywhere, running back and forth, window to window, just always anxious and barking at other vehicles going by. But these dogs, she said, are used to traveling. They're very good in the car. Oftentimes, they just kind of lay there and go to sleep, which is great. But she says that while they were going through Riverside, that they popped up and they were extremely alert. They began crying and looking around in a panic as if something was there, something that she could not see. And she did. She looked around, scanned the area, and nothing was there that she could see with her own eyes. Now, we must remember that just because we can't see something doesn't mean it's not there. We all know that. Animals are very seasoned paranormal investigators, if you will. They sense things that many people cannot. They are very sensitive and intelligent, and it doesn't shock me in the slightest that this woman's two furry family members were feeling something in a haunted location as she drove through it. So that was experience number one. The other one that I read came from an individual who visited the mausoleum with a handful of friends. And apparently this mausoleum is located kind of by the highway. And this is the one where people have heard sounds and knocking and voices and what have you. This person shares that them and some friends went inside the mausoleum. And at the end, they even say, hey, it takes a special key to gain access. You need to get this key from a family member of the deceased and not to be, quote, stupid and break in. So I'm assuming that they weren't stupid and broke in, but were actually granted permission. They didn't say they were granted permission, but I'm assuming they were granted by the family and were obviously given a key for their use. Anyways, they shared that when entering the mausoleum, that at first everything was copacetic. Everything was actually quiet for the first several minutes. And after some silence goes by, it is suddenly broken by the sounds of scratch-like sounds coming from the wall that holds the remains. That's creepy. So today, I talked about two phenomenal locations, one being a military fort and the other being a burial ground. If you are in or around Abercrombie and Fargo in North Dakota and you're planning a trip, I recommend checking out these locations. And again, before going to the fort, just double check to make sure that they still are open. Have you been to Fort Abercrombie or Riverside Cemetery? I would love to hear about your visit. Feel free to reach out to me through my Facebook Paranormal Prowlers podcast page. Did you enjoy this week's episode? Listen to the others. They are all phenomenal. You haven't heard every single one yet? No need to fret. Just hit up any of those podcast platforms, such as Downcast, CastBox, Podcast Republic, Pocket Casts, Player FM. Basically, wherever you may roam to hear your other spooky podcasts, you'll probably find Paranormal Prowlers podcast lurking in the background. Thanks, everyone, and
I will see you next week. Yeah.